Good morning. I'd like to call the Finance Committee to order. And Trinise, will you please take the roll?
Are we on air?
We're,
yes, we are now.
We are. Okay. Committee Chair, Director Peterson?
Here.
Director Banks?
Here.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you.
The committee members.
Christy, will...
Sure. You know, first, we're going to start with our quarterly financial review. After the close of every quarter, when we've been able to reconcile, we do present to the board just an update of how we performed in that quarter. Last December, the board approved a budget for 2011, which was based on conservative revenue projections and reduced operating expenditures. And our third quarter results that Mike Kelch will present this morning show that the tollway has been successful in managing those operating expenses and costs within our budget while taking in slightly more revenue than projected by the third quarter of the year. Given the slow pace of the economic recovery, we're going to continue to manage carefully and efficiently in order to maintain this sound financial position. So, Mike, further ado.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I think Christy's introduction really summarized it well. Just a reminder, the 2011 revenues were budgeted to total $680 million. As we discussed last month, 99% of that is toll and toll revenue and evasion recovery. It's allocated $255 million for maintenance and operations, debt service, and deposits to our capital accounts. In the third quarter, I think as Christy mentioned, we had planned for, or we had developed this budget on the basis of conservative revenue estimates. Earlier in the year, there was some impact on traffic related to higher motor fuel prices, gasoline prices in particular. In the third quarter, we saw those fuel prices start to moderate and traffic start to come back a little bit more. We were able to achieve modest positive variance in total revenue and evasion recovery in the third quarter, about $5.7 million. That's really primarily not just stronger traffic, but reflective of efforts that Business Systems has undertaken to continue to improve the efforts to recover unpaid tolls when you have unpaid tolls at the point of collection, but also their efforts to ensure that customers are updating their accounts, that our equipment is operating properly, and that at the point of collection we're able to collect a higher percentage of our revenue at the point that someone passes through the electronic tolling station. So some of that variance really is due to less leakage at the point of collection and higher recovery of that leakage when it occurs. But a very modest amount related to slightly better traffic trends. With respect to concessions, it's really on track. Investment income, this has been the story really for the past almost 2.5 years. Investment rates are very, very low for the investments that we're limited to, which are essentially U.S. Treasury guarantees, obligations. We're also either in the form of, whether that be in the form of a money market fund or other investments, they either need to be fully collateralized by U.S. Treasuries or U.S. Treasury obligations. And most of our investments are required to be less than 1 year. So if you look at Treasury rates out 1 year and 2 years, the rates are very low. Miscellaneous income was up slightly. We have been successful in attaining some new agreements for fiber optic, release of our fiber optic system, as well as some cell tower leases earlier this year. We go to the...
I have a question on the investment income.
And it is just that it's a quarter that you're down $270,000. What is the percentage you use for a projection, knowing that we you know that you can't that you have to invest in low not high.
Right. We had used an average of about 50 basis points.
So half of a percent.
Yeah, and we're achieving about 25 for the.
And if that's just a quarter, what's what are we off in the three quarters of investment income? Roughly about.
Right here, $600,000.
The three quarters?
Yeah. It's not year to date through three quarters.
So in the 2012, are you still using 50 basis points for the 2012 budget or?
We lowered it.
You lowered it?
Yeah. We lowered our projection down to $1 million. It was $2 million for the start of the year.
It has been one of the legislative items that we have sought in the past is the flexibility to invest in a broader range of categories, but at this point we haven't achieved that flexibility, so it is something that we make adjustments.
And do I remember that the treasurer actually is responsible for investing that? Or?
The treasurer is responsible for investing a large portion of our portfolio, but we do manage, or not manage, but we assist them in selecting investments for the trust-held investments as well as some of the IBS escrow.
So we are pooling the investments with the treasurer's office? Are we pooling investments with other agencies?
Yes, the treasurer.
Okay.
For the ones that the treasurer manages. Yeah. This slide does show the traffic trends throughout this calendar year. Up in the upper left-hand corner shows the transactions for passenger vehicles, as well as the percentage changes over the prior year. I think you can see from that slide that there was a spike up in February. There was a major storm event that impacted the February transactions. In March and April and May, we saw fuel prices increase quite substantially. So you saw passenger vehicle transactions drop off. And as those increases moderated, started to come back down, you can see the traffic for passenger vehicles did pick up later in this calendar year. Right now it's about 1.5% growth for the year on passenger vehicle traffic and about 3.8% for commercial vehicle traffic.
My question, is there a model you use for projections also on the commercial and vehicular traffic?
The traffic projections are done by our traffic engineer, Wilbur Smith and Associates, and they do have a quite complicated, extensive model that really takes into account what they describe as kind of the cost associated with trips and the amount of economic activity, fuel prices. They would be much better position to be able to describe the details of the model, but the things that would factor in would include employment, particularly when it comes to commuting and commercial traffic, fuel prices, tolls, the cost of the tolls relative to the alternatives that are available that are free.
Can we get a copy? Is there possible to get a copy of that model? Take a look at that.
What I was thinking was it might make sense to offer the former trustee board members an opportunity to just have a session with Wilbur Smith where they can walk us in. We should have gotten a report in the last month, I think, for their annual report, but I think it'd be good to have someone from Wilbur Smith actually sit down, and anybody who has questions can ask them about it.
That'd be helpful.
And what we can do quickly too is we can get there are copies of the annual traffic and revenue report that's available. It kind of does a description of the past year, and that helps describe some of the factors that they include. And we can get that out as well. Next slide. With respect to the operating expenses, This is for the third quarter. The negative variances indicate that these were expenses that were less than what we had allocated at the start of the year for the third quarter. The positive variances in this case represent the amount of expenses in excess of what we had allocated for the quarter. As you can see, there are two areas of significant decreases in expenses relative to what we had allocated for the third quarter. Those are payroll and related costs, almost exclusively due to having fewer employees than what we had anticipated having at this point in the year. There are more vacancies. And in all other insurance, this is really an adjustment for our workers' compensation insurance costs. It reflects an earlier, or a study that was done earlier in the year by our actuary that had determined that we had set aside more funds for workers' compensation claims than what would be required on an actuarial basis. So we're able to make an adjustment to that expense, reflecting their new projection that the cost would be less over time. The other variances, in each of these areas where we're over, with the exception of fuel, these really are timing issues. We simply, and as you'll see from the next slide, we're under, year-to-date, we're actually under in those areas. But group insurance, for example, we have, as part of our collective bargaining efforts with the Teamsters, in which we converted to a new healthcare program for them. It's actually a union healthcare program, and it's always agreed to pay a flat per month per fee through the duration of the contract, or per month per member fee through the duration of the contract. We transitioned to that in July. When we transitioned to that in July, you continue to pay the run-out costs of our previous existing self-insured program plus the new monthly fee. So there was an additional cost in the third quarter, but you'll see by the end of the year, or actually through the three quarters, that we are under budget on group insurance. Contractual services, again, it's the timing of things like the payment of our audit and some activity in terms of merchant card fees.
My quick question on the insurance on the workers' comp, you mentioned about the actuaries. Is there a fund that we need to basically keep a certain amount of money in on the workers' comp? Is it dictated by, is there any kind of statute that dictates that fund? Or
The statutes of trust and nature require maintaining, actually I think it's the trust and nature requires maintaining an actuarially sound reserve for workers' compensation and insurance, an actuarially sound insurance program. And in this case, you're able to either choose between having buying insurance or having self-funded insurance reserve. And we've chosen, back in about 1989, I think it was established, to go to self-funded. I think it has about $15 or $16 million in that claim reserve at this point.
15 or 16.
Okay. Year-to-date, as I mentioned earlier, there is only one area year-to-date where operating expenses have exceeded what we had allocated at the start of the year. That's parts and fuel, which is really fuel. And we have, I think earlier this year, when we had discussed the workers' compensation actuarial reserve savings, we had indicated at that time to the board that our plan was to take a portion of those savings by the end of the year and transfer it to this fuel account to cover this cost. It was something that by July, actually by April or May, we realized was going to be an issue. And it indicated at that time that part of that, essentially, I think it was almost $6 or $7 million of savings for the year, could be allocated to cover fuel costs, as well as, at that time, we thought there may be some overtime costs we'd have to cover for winter activities from this past winter. Next. With respect to the capital program, the congestion relief programs in the third quarter was under budget by about $25 million. The largest component of that was Jane Addams Memorial is under budget as we started to plan for, and Paul can add if you'd like here, as we started to plan for Move Illinois, there were some projects that were scheduled for the Jane Addams that were rescoped or changed or rescheduled, anticipating that we would do a larger reconstruction more quickly than what we had previously planned. So much of that variance really is related to a change in scope related to the plans that we were developing with respect to Move Illinois. Yeah.
You said it. That's what it was. I mean, we had resurfacings planned. We did the critical resurfacings that needed to be done so we can get through this winter, but we're going to start rebuilding that route starting next year. So we didn't want to overspend on an improvement that we were doing eventually taking out in the short term.
Let me go to the next slide. Through three quarters, this may be even more instructive. You can see the variance again on the Jane Addams, $32.7 million. And I'm looking at really the middle kind of wine green line here, which is the congestion relief program cost. $62 million variance on the congestion relief program, less spending than what we had anticipated. Our analysis with the PMO shows that about $20 million of that is related to bid costs and actual project costs being less than what we had anticipated at the start of the year. So that's essentially permanent savings that we should expect to achieve. About $21 million actually was scope changes that we had discussed earlier, and there's about $21 million of that we think is really timing, scheduling issues that aren't, won't result in ultimate savings, but are reflective of timing and schedule through the third quarter. And then finally at the bottom, some positive news. Christy mentioned we've taken a conservative approach to the 2011 budget. One aspect of that conservative approach was that we did not count on or factor in reimbursements from primarily from the Department of Transportation that we have for through intergovernmental agreements for work that we had previously done on their system. We did receive significant reimbursements this year. They were included in the Department of Transportation's annual budget. They were able to make payments to us, a total of $24 million of reimbursements that we had not scheduled to receive in 2011 in the budget. So, next slide. With respect to the outlook for the rest of the year, and recapping the first three quarters, we mentioned toll and evasion revenue totaled $11.4 million, or about 2.2% more than budgeted so far this year. Again, that's primarily due to evasion recovery and efforts to reduce loss at the point of collection or leakage at point of collection. Overall, gas prices still remain higher than they were a year ago. They've declined from peak prices that occurred in May. We want to continue to be conservative and careful as we proceed. Recently released projections show that economic growth is expected to continue at a slow pace through 2012. We do expect to meet or slightly exceed our 2011 estimates for this year, but we'll continue to monitor economic conditions, fuel prices, other factors that could impact both the revenue and operating side of the budget. You have additional information if there are questions we need.
A question for you on the state IDOT and reimbursement. What fund is that? Is it on the general fund or a separate fund? Is that why we get reimbursed so quickly?
Well, I wouldn't say we were reimbursed quickly.
No. That's a lifetime for the state, because I know I'm surprised we got reimbursed.
They're typically road fund reimbursements, road funds. Because the work that we're, well, Paul can explain this better than I, but when we go out and do jobs where they have facilities located either nearby or as part of an interchange or local roads or state roads that are close by, we often coordinate that work so that they're not out there at one point and we're out there, you know, soon after or before impeding traffic. And when we coordinate that work, we roll that work into our contract and enter into agreements that they'll reimburse us at some point in time. And their process is that they will enter into a letter of understanding with us with respect to those costs, but they won't sign an intergovernmental agreement until the funds are actually included in their annual budget. And so fortunately, we've been working with them. We were able to enter into intergovernmental agreements with them for significant reimbursements this year. The funding was put in the budget. So it really, I don't think, has been as much of a cash flow issue with them as opposed to the timing of when they're putting these items in the state budget.
We know it makes sense because they have so many roads that cross ours, and you know, so for the sake of the, you know, interruptions for the public, and also we get better costs because why, you know, bid out work on the same bridge under two separate contracts, just combine it together. And usually, you know, we have a portion of the bridge and they have the, you know, the other portion, and you know, we have monthly coordination meetings with them. We do talk about the projects that we have going on, and we do look for opportunities where we can work together.
Very good. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you.
Next, we're going to have a presentation on an employee benefit that we've been, I think, tracking a little more closely particularly the last year than we had previously. The employees of the tollway receive, as part of their, you know, part of the policy manual here, they're allowed to receive transponders that are non-revenue transponders for purposes of commuting to and from work or travel to having to do with work-related responsibilities. This is something that we've been focusing on more in the last couple of years to try to track and monitor a little better and decide what ultimately we're going to do with this benefit that they received. Mike Stone has been working closely with Lou Bertuca and is going to do a little short presentation just to give you a sense of how these transponders are used. We did last year decide that we were going to track them more closely, and you know, as a result, we have found places, although they are unusual, there have been cases where employees were not using them, you know, according to those work standards. And I think the discussion that we need to have is whether this should continue to be a benefit for the employees of the tollway, or you know, now that we have a toll increase that is coming January 1st, and the amount of this benefit will significantly, of course, increase because the tolls are increasing, whether it's something that we should reconsider. So, Mike, do you want to step in here and give the presentation? And I think, unfortunately, it was the presentation, if you want to find it, was it included?
It's under board meeting agenda.
Okay.
Non-revenue transponders. If you click on that, you will find it.
We have it on here.
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, directors.
Good morning.
As Christy explained, we have over the past year, been tracking employee transponder use, as well as implementing a new process in which we have been making sure that the transponders are being used appropriately. And that has allowed us to get a good, not only ensure that the transponders are used appropriately, at least according to the policy and procedures manual, but also allowed us to establish a baseline as to the nature of that use and the amount of that use. So I was hoping this morning to touch on 3 points. One, to give some background regarding the transponder usage. The transponders have been an employee benefit since the transponders have existed, and in fact, some sort of free passage existed even prior to the transponders. We believe as far back as we believe the tollway has existed. A second point that we hope to touch on this morning is a cost analysis for in comparison for 2011 versus 2012 as of the new toll rates. And then a third, what are other agencies doing both locally and nationwide? So if you see on the second slide, we have approximately 1,156 individuals participating in the non-revenue employee transponders. That's versus a budgeted headcount of 1,598. That leads to a average benefit per person of $221 per participant on an annual basis. With the new toll rates going into effect, assuming the same usage for 2011 as 2012, that benefit would increase to a $414 annual benefit. A benefit that was not at least calculated in terms or considered in terms of current annual salaries and such. On that second slide, you see that, as I mentioned, we currently have 1,156 employees using transponders versus a budgeted headcount of 1,598. Since 2010, when we began pursuing a new policy of enforcement and checking, 228 employees have voluntarily stopped using transponders. Even before that time, there was a group of employees who were not using the non-revenue transponders. In the aggregate, that leads to a benefit of foregone revenue of $255,000 approximately on an annual basis, expected to climb to $478,000 on an annual basis with the new toll rates. And approximately 85% of the employees who use the non-revenue transponders are union employees versus 15% who are non-union salaried employees. I should also mention here that the policy and procedures manual limits the use of the transponder to commuting purposes and other official tollway businesses meeting somewhere in the tollway system. Other uses by an employee would be a violation of the policy and would lead to restitution by the employee or repayment. As part of that program to enforce appropriate usage, we have so far been collecting approximately $160 per month on average from employees for unauthorized usage. That amount is calculated at the cash rate. If an employee uses his non-revenue transponder, his or her non-revenue transponder in a non-authorized manner, they're actually charged the cash rate and required to make restitution. Also, as a result of our aggressively pursuing this, we have now referred five individuals to the Inspector General for further investigation to determine whether
such abuse constitute some extended misuse or fraud. Approximately two-thirds of agencies nationwide use or have some sort of non-revenue transponder or the equivalent tag benefit for their employees. A number of those agencies, it includes commuting costs and extended benefits. About a third of the agencies that we surveyed do not have that benefit. And most recently, a couple of agencies have previously had that benefit and taken it away. Notably, the Port Authority of New Jersey was one example of an agency that removed the benefit. Finally, with respect to local agencies, the CTA provides a non-revenue fare card for employees that allows free passage, similar to the tollway that passage is supposed to be for commuting and official business purposes. Our understanding is it is, at least under their collective bargaining agreements or union agreements, that is a benefit and that the CTA is currently reviewing that benefit. The RTA does not have something similar, but it does have a transit benefit plan that allows employees to contribute pre-tax monies to the program that allows them to essentially travel at a reduced rate. That is something that's not available to something like a toll agency. It's actually a federal statute that limits it to public transportation.
Okay. So we would have public transportation, I believe parking is also part of that.
That's correct.
Program. So it would be something though that there would have to be a federal statute change to allow for transponder.
That's correct.
To be under the pre-tax program.
Do you know if any I was just going to ask if any of the agencies that are part of your national coalition have thought about what changes that will
You know, I've discussed it with a couple of them, but it's not really something that has been kind of high on their list of priorities at the federal level. Although I do think that it would be a benefit if the parking fees are allowed, it's clearly not something that's solely targeted to transit. I do think it's something that generally could be pursued and could be a benefit to a lot of employers.
My question, how are we monitoring the use of these transponders by the employees, and how long has that monitoring been going on for abuses? And then secondly, as far as employees that don't have access to arterial roads to gain access to their place of business, what percentage of those employees do we have?
Sure. Prior to October last year, we were monitoring employee usage through an audit program. We'd sample a certain usage and we would test to see the nature of the usage and do an analysis of whether it was appropriate. But since October of last year, we've actually looked at every single transponder usage by an employee and compare that to their time clock so that we know whether or not they were traveling for work purposes on that day. That allows us to essentially review every single transaction that's out there. And that's why we've seen the kind of restitution numbers that we've seen.
So we would be able on the 255,000 in 2011 that's projected now to go to 478,000 in 2012, you would be able to break up the difference between how much of that would be official travel versus daily commute? Because daily commute is different, obviously,
right.
If it's official travel, it seems like we would have to be reimbursing those employees either way, whether it's at the IRS mileage rate or using the transponder. Would we have that breakup between those two?
We do from the last year. And the vast majority, I don't know if we have one of those slides in the appendix, but we can provide it. The vast majority, literally, I think 99.9% is commuting.
Daily commute?
Daily commute trips. There were a couple of random trips where there were meetings or the things where people attended. Often people will, if they get to the tollway, could take a tollway vehicle, an official tollway vehicle to attend meetings or off-site activities, and that would, of course, have a transponder in the tollway vehicle as opposed to a personal vehicle.
So it is then more of a benefit if it's 99%.
It's definitely, I think we have to say that this is really commuting costs are the vast majority of what we are subsidizing.
Yeah, the arterial road, follow up on the other question, is what percentage of employees don't have access?
There are certainly plazas where you can only get to in terms of using our system. But as far as that data, that's kind of hard for us to get to match up exactly where that person is, whether that usage was specific to that plaza, and you know, that particular individual. We know that it's out there, but we don't have really good data on that.
We would have to do another level of evaluation depending on, you know, kind of the outcome of today's discussion to get to, you know, those locations. Used typically, as Mike mentioned, toll plazas. There might be one or so maintenance, you know, M site where it would be difficult or impossible to get to without taking the tollway system. But we'd have to do an additional level of that, which we certainly can do depending on what the, you know, what the outcome of today's discussion is.
So, and employees also have access. So basically my office is here at the central office and I need to use the tollway for business during business hours. There's a car, tollway car for me to use with a transponder I can use to get to and from for tollway business during regular hours.
Right, and if employees do take their personal vehicles, then certainly, you know, one of the things that, you know, would be part of what we would reimburse if they needed to take the toll, it would be, you know, in addition to their mileage or their, you know, their tolls. But again, that's not where we're seeing the majority of these transponders being used. But yes, they do have access to, you know, either reimbursement or official tollway vehicles with transponders.
Did I see, Mike, through 85% are union employees that have used it?
That's correct. Right. And 15% would be salary non-union employees.
So, go ahead.
What percentage of general employees are union versus?